Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings is in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. We got an hour to go, and then it's officially the weekend, which means we're closer to the noon kickoff on Sunday, Eagles versus the San Francisco 49ers. We're having a lot of fun today, just kind of looking ahead and talking about this game and what the factors may or may not be and which way you're leaning, etc. And it does feel like, while there may be an outlier or two in terms of thinking this may be a blowout, I think we all assume, most of us, it's going to be a close game. Let's go out to the Bud Light guest line. All guests appear on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the Bud Light guest line. I'll just tell you this. You know, I'm obviously working in San Francisco. I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania, so this game's going to be a doozy for me.
Oh, wow.
You played in Philly. You know, you watch games every weekend, but does this one like more fun for you, or you get more into it almost?
Yeah, I feel like I'm into it. I'm totally into it. You know, the fact that Philly's here and, you know, Philly fans are, I mean, I stayed here, Steiny.
Yep.
When I got done playing with the Eagles, I stayed in Philly because I'd never seen a fan base like this, you know? And, like, I've been through championship losses and 76ers and Flyers and Phillies. I've been through it all, you know, as a fan. And so I know what these fans are like and how they live and die on this stuff. I saw them crying 5 years ago, Steiny, for six straight months out of, you know, just joy, just pure joy of winning one. And it feels like they still haven't won one. They still feel disrespected. But I feel like we got the two best teams, Steiny. Like, if it came down to the final drive, like, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, the way these two teams are playing and the way that they're constructed.
No, Baldy, and that takes me to my question for you. For those that don't follow you on Baldy, I do want to let everyone know that you're an avid Shark Week aficionado. And, you know, when you're talking about who's the deadliest shark, well, does it depend? Is it freshwater? Is it open seas? Is it a bull shark? Is it a great white? Like, how do you decide in a matchup between San Francisco and Philadelphia where a lot of their, you know, their game plans, their styles are similar? How do you decide who you think is going to win the football game and where you fall in this matchup?
Sam, I always go to the trenches in these matchups. You know, the Eagles were just so much better than the Giants last Sunday in the trenches. I mean, it was a beatdown, but it was pretty easily predictable, even though, you know, the Giants had played well in Minnesota the week before. I feel like the Eagles are better in the trenches than the 49ers. I mean, not because they have 70 sacks and five last week, 75 total, not just because of that. Just the way they are, like, just the way that they're built. Lane Johnson, Jordan Mulata, Jason Kelsey. I mean, just go through the list of guys. They just look better to me in the trenches. That doesn't mean that the 49ers can't win the game, but if you ask me that question, like, where do I go to? I go right there. I go right inside the trenches and go, okay, if the Eagles are in a five-man defensive line and Javon Hargrave is one-on-one with Aaron Banks, who's going to win that matchup? You know, and so that's kind of how I break it down right now. Hassan Reddick on, you know, Mike McGlinchey, I don't know. Like, I'd have to favor Reddick in that matchup. So that's kind of where I start doesn't mean that's where it's all going to come out.
Sure.
Brian Baldinger joining us on 95.7 The Game. For a guy like me who watched last week's game, I thought the Dallas defense was really good. Can you, you know, tell a guy like me what would, because I hear Philly's defense is good, like compare and contrast those two defenses, what to look for?
Yeah, you know when I saw last week, Steiny, was I thought the speed of the Dallas defense really showed up against the 49ers. They scored one touchdown. I mean, look, they won the game. They scored one touchdown on a two-yard run by McCaffrey. But, you know, you saw a bunch, and to his credit, you saw a Brock Purdy, you know, just throw the ball away a bunch and being chased and harassed by, you know, Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence and some guys. And I thought that, and the Eagles' defense isn't, I don't think they're as fast as Dallas. The Eagles don't have anybody that approaches Micah Parsons' speed and closing speed when a quarterback is flushed. But they're more physical than Dallas. They're much better up front than they are. And I think their corners cover better than the Cowboys' corners cover. And so, if you said compare and contrast, I'd say Dallas is faster. But I think Philadelphia, their front, their pass rush is better. And I think their secondary is better than Dallas's.
Well, that would lead me to believe, Baldy, that Kyle Shanahan is going to want to run the football early and often against this Philadelphia front. Yep. I know they tried to do it against Dallas. It didn't work in the first half, but they got it going in the second half. Do you expect a similar slugfest type of style from Shanahan and the 49ers, even though we've seen Brock Purdy be able to light it up through the air? Does it all start on the ground? That's how they got to win, right?
I think it's a big part of it, Sam. You know, there's a great scene in last week's game towards the end of the second quarter before halftime. And Juice is sitting down with McCaffrey, and they got a tablet and a, you know, they got a telestrator there. And Juice is showing something to McCaffrey. And I felt like they had things that they had to figure out. It's not a game plan thing, not even a coaching thing. Sometimes players got to figure things out. And I thought once I saw that thing on the sideline, like the third quarter, they looked like the 49ers running game. Like they really started to pop. McCaffrey started getting some runs. Eli Mitchell started getting some runs. They started running the ball consecutive plays in a row. And I felt like they figured some things out. It might be something like that this week. But I'm with you, Sam. I think the way to slow this rush down is a variety of runs. And it could be Deebo and fly sweeps. And, it could be formations that we haven't seen with McCaffrey and Eli and Deebo. I mean, but I feel like that's where it's got to start for San Francisco on Sunday.
Brian Baldinger joining us on 95.7 The Game. Let me ask you this, and you might say this is all of football, but if I'm Kyle Shanahan and I'm thinking about the other side and I'm thinking they're going to try to stop our run, well, then you got to try to make them think you're going to run but pass, right? Isn't that the way? Aren't you trying to make a team think you're going to run when they think you're going to pass and vice versa?
So the way the Eagles get around that, Steiny, honestly, is they're about the only team in the league. They play a five-man defensive front. And, you know, sometimes you play a five-man front to stop the run. They got a guy right on top of, your center. And so, it could be a variety of different guys. But, I mean, that's kind of how they line up. They play one linebacker and a safety. Now, it's good if you've got five guys up front that can really key on stopping the run. But if you get past that front, you've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at 190 pounds playing linebacker. I mean, you could get some big runs. In fact, Saquon last week ripped off a 39-yard run, and they were just out of the gaps, and they got pierced. And it has happened this year. That's why they went to a five-man front, because they were getting run on. Fletcher Cox is getting older. He's not playing the run quite like he used to. I'm not picking on Fletcher. But, he's 12 years in this league. He's seen his better days. So they went to a five-man front. They signed Ndamukong Suh. They signed, different guys to kind of plug that middle because they knew it was a weakness. And so I think that there's ways that you can get, whether it's, outside zone or cutbacks or whatever, I think there's lanes there that you can get created.
Baldy, one thing we've been discussing today on the show is which quarterback has to do more for their team to win. I feel like it's Jalen Hurts just because of how important, like we've been talking about, the running game is for San Francisco. Do you see it the same way, or do you think that Brock Purdy needs to be great on Sunday if San Francisco wants to walk out of Lincoln Field with a win?
Oh, I think if San Francisco wins the game, Sam, I'm going to, on Monday morning at 5 a.m., I'm going to have six Brock Purdy throws that are sensational throws.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about, you know, like even the one to Debo last week, or not to Debo, but to Kittle last week, the one-hander. I mean, you know, he's the third read in that progression right there. And now Kittle made a great catch. But, you know, he's going to have to make six. I'll call it a six-pack of Purdy throws that he's going to have to make to go on the road and beat this Eagles team. However, to answer your question, I mean, the one thing about both these quarterbacks, they don't turn the ball over. Like, they're very good. Brock Purdy's very, you know, he's very adroit at just throwing the ball away and getting to the next down. And really, the strength of Jalen Hurts this past year has been two things. One, he's a great deep ball thrower to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, whoever. And he is a great decision maker. And in that decision making, he turns the ball over very little. And we haven't seen Brock Purdy do a lot of that. So, you know, what defense can force the quarterback into the turnovers? Because let's face it, San Francisco, you guys won last week over Dallas because of the Dak interception. So what it came down to.
Right.
One was in the red zone where they took points off the board. That led to a field goal. And, you know, the first interception, you know, led to a field goal. That was the difference in the game. And so that's what it's going to come down to. Who can force the other quarterback into creating mistakes?
Yeah.
Hey, Baldy, thank you so much as always. Really appreciate it. And, man, I can't wait for this one.
Likewise, Donnie.
All right.
I didn't know you were from Reading.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you're going to, you know, if part of you says go Birds right now. Not sure about that.
Yeah, you're getting on me out here, Baldy, but I'm hanging tough.
Okay.
All right. Take care, buddy. That's Brian Baldinger on the Bud Light guest line. Brian Baldinger. Matt Steinmetz, Sam Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Sam's new here.
Simmer. Yeah, I appreciate you picking me up, Stan. You're a team player.
You know, Evan, it's Evan Giddings. And
by the way, I think you had a read after the Bud Light guest line.
No, did I? Oh, yeah,
something
I did.
About
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Hey, the road to Glendale, it's brought to you by the SF Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Visit sfsheriff.com and apply today. By the way, coming up in 15 minutes.
Sam special.
15 minutes. Tony DeMarco.
Yep.
Who's Tony DeMarco? I know you. Tony DeMarco. Oh, I'll be honest with you. I went to college with him. He's from back east. He's from Hamilton, New Jersey. Blueberry capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a season ticket holder for the Eagles for 45 years.
Okay, when someone says that something is the capital of the world,
okay.
Is that self-proclaimed or is that universally known?
Hey, let me tell you something.
Okay.
What you don't know, Hamilton, New Jersey is bog country. Cranberries, big there. Ocean spray, and blueberries too.
Okay.
I think it's something like that. He can tell us.
You didn't answer the question. Okay.
What was the question again?
What is it self-bestowed, the title of?
Well, you know, we can ask Tony that. He just texted me an hour ago, said, I'm from Hamilton, the blueberry capital of the world, not Haddonfield. They're 20 miles apart. Tony and I are great friends. We keep in touch, obviously. I know where he's from, and we're going to have fun.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Let's go to Joe. Joe's in the city. He said he's feeling a little pessimistic.
Oh,
how come?
Not on this show.
Hey guys, happy Friday. I think if you look at the running AI, we all know that they want to run the ball, but they've only in the two playoff games only had really one great run, which was
McCaffrey
against Seattle. They've been bottled up. Seattle controlled the line of scrimmage until the middle of the third, both sides to the middle of the third quarter. Dallas was controlling it most of the game. And they've given up big, once a game, they give up a big bomb on the defense. And I think that's going to be the downfall. Kyle would love to run this like he ran against Minnesota and Green Bay a couple years ago. But when was the last time the 49ers showed this year that they've really been doing that? Even the game against the Raiders, they didn't really play all that great. And so I think, of course, they can win. I think Ayuk's going to have to win some 50-50 balls. Like that ball again in the first quarter, he should have made a better play on that. And Bosa's going to have to stand up. But this whole thing about the 49ers going to be able to run the ball down the pipes of the Eagles, my spidey senses are tingling that it's not going to happen. It's going to have to be Purdy.
Fair enough. Thinking. Fair enough, Joe. I got to tell you, I'm gonna acknowledge that. I mean, if you look at the postseason, you know, Seattle was up at half, and the 49ers running game in these two games hasn't been as good as it's been under the regular season under Brock Purdy, but you kind of expect that because the competition's getting better, and in a way, it doesn't matter because they won both those games, but it's the kind of thing where if they run 26 times for 99 yards,
then
we're going to say, huh, they just didn't run the running game, you know, was largely mitigated.
And that's why I also feel like, well, one, Brock Purdy won't have a chance to turn the ball over three times because I don't think he'll throw enough. But I also don't think that he needs to be, he doesn't have to have an all-time performance because the 49ers are going to win or lose this game. Like Baldy was saying, where he starts, what he's looking at is the line of scrimmage. Can they run the football? And defensively, can they stop Philadelphia from running the football? That's what both teams want to start with. They will play the pass off of the run. So if you're asking me, you know, does Christian McCaffrey have to have a big game? Maybe he doesn't, but Elijah Mitchell then does. Okay, so, or maybe Debo Samuel does out of the backfield. Together, all three of them, that running back core, whoever gets the ball, has to be good against Philadelphia because they need to extend drives. They need to control time of possession, something that only, again, one team has done when Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback. The Washington Commanders beat Philadelphia at home by controlling the clock for 41 minutes of the football game. I don't know if San Francisco needs to control it for that much, but it's got to be on the plus side, in my opinion, as well as the takeaway side, like Baldy was talking about, for them to have a chance to win the game. I don't think it necessarily comes down to Brock versus Jalen. I think it comes down to who can run the ball better against these fronts that, quite frankly, have been the best in the NFC all season.
You know, that's something that now that thought is in my head, and it is something that we've seen from Kyle Shanahan in the past. Debo Samuel, okay, let's use Mostert as an example back a few years back.
Yeah,
he didn't run Mostert into the ground during the regular season. But then the playoffs came, and he needed Mostert to carry 32 times. And you know what? Mostert carried 32 times. Pretty sure it was 32 or 29. So what I'm getting at is you look at a player like Debo Samuel, and you don't want to overuse him in the regular season. You don't want to too many. But we got two games left. So if you've got to run Debo Samuel 10 times Sunday to win, you can run him 10 times. And Kyle Shanahan will run him 10 times. That's the one thing. I think that's an ace up Kyle Shanahan's sleeve that you can't discount because, I mean, heck, there are 5 49er offensive players who on any given day could kind of carry you.
And that's why Debo Samuel wanted the $20-plus million, is because he knew that on a game like Sunday, he might have to carry the ball 10 to 15 times. He might also have to catch the ball 5 to 10 times. He might be the go-to guy against Philadelphia. He also might not get the ball at all. That's why this offense is so dynamic, is because they have different ways to beat you. So does Philly. Now, one thing that our last caller brought up was the fact that Seattle was able to, you know, outside of one big McCaffrey run, win at the line of scrimmage. Dallas did too. Well, one thing they also did, they had big games from their top receivers. DK Metcalf had 2 touchdowns and 150 yards. And CeeDee Lamb had a 120 and 13. You know, he had a big game. So I'm looking at Philadelphia, and they got pretty two damn good wideouts on their side, with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, those guys are going to also factor into this football game, and why I think that San Francisco, again, has to be able to put Jalen Hurts in pass-first situations. They have to win on first down, because if the Eagles have the option to throw or run, then it might get a little dicey. And the same can be said about San Francisco. They did not win on first down against Dallas in the first half. They did in the second half, and to me, that's why they're able to create an 8-minute drive like they did in the fourth quarter. They have to win. They cannot put themselves behind the sticks. And that's also how Brock Purdy, I think, is going to be allowed to be good on third down, because if he's third and 10 plus, then it's going to be asking a lot for Brandon Ayuk to create that separation the caller was talking about against, you know, two of the best cover corners in the league. But if it's third and 6, if it's third and 5, then Deebo Samuel out of the backfield, then Christian McCaffrey maybe in the slot, then you might see George Kittle up the middle, then you might see Brandon Ayuk on the outside. Like, when Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy have a diverse situation, then they can be successful. But I also just don't know how many chances they'll have to do that.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris. Chris in San Bernardino wants to know, I'll let him talk for himself. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? Good afternoon, you guys.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so I listen to WIP a lot, and Joe DeCameron.
That's in Philadelphia, John, for those out here that don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, they sound real, real confident based off that win that they beat the Giants last week, and they sound even more confident this week that they are sure to get the W against you guys. I'm just wondering why is it that it sounds like just the vibe or just the, you know, the energy I get from listening to you guys. You guys sound a little bit scared of Philadelphia, and I was just wondering why. I mean, if you guys put a little bit of pressure like Miami did against Josh.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Allen, Hurts is easily flustered. You know, Hurts is the weakest link in the offense. So I was just wanting to know why you guys are scared to play Philly.
That's a bold statement, Chris.
I mean, I'm not.
The one about Jalen Hurts. No. Okay, so.
I don't get scared about a game.
Yeah, I mean, look, for both sides.
I think why would a 49er fan be nervous? Well, a 49er fan would be nervous because this is the best team they've faced since Kansas City.
And what's on the line? A trip to the Super Bowl. Like, that to me is more why there would be nerves, and that's why there'll be nerves out on the field. But I will say this. The fact that Philadelphia wasn't tested against the Giants, I do think opens an opportunity early for San Francisco to punch them in the mouth the way that coming off a Seattle game in which San Francisco was not tested at home, Dallas did that in the first half to them. The difference was, of course, Dak Prescott threw two picks in the first half. Dallas controlled the first, 30 minutes of that football game. San Francisco held serve. So if they can jump on Philly the way that I thought Dallas did it, as good of a job as they could to jump on San Francisco, because Philly's, they're kind of fat cats right now. Like they smoked the Giants. They did not see anything that tested them in that football game. San Francisco offers a lot that will test them on Sunday.
Football Friday is brought to you by Zenni, the official eyewear of the San Francisco 49ers. Shop from over 3,000 styles at 80% off retail prices exclusively at Zenni.com. Also, this segment brought to you by Pfizer. On the other side, he's got to come on. He's the biggest Philadelphia Eagle fan I know. Season ticket holder for 45 years. The great Tony DeMarco. Stick around.
Sam, I always go to the trenches.
Now, back to Stani and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, before we go out to the Bud Light guest line from the 510, hey, Stani and E, my kids Adrian and Julian are turning 8 tomorrow. They're big fans of 95.7 The Game, especially Stani and Guru. Can you give them a birthday shout-out? Absolutely. Happy birthday, Adrian and Julian, and make sure Mom and Dad don't stiff you on any gifts this year.
Well, hopefully the 49ers get him a victory. That'd be the perfect birthday present.
If he's a Niner fan.
My right. Parents off the hook.
Let's head out to the Bud Light guest line. All guests appear on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Tony DeMarco, my friend, he's an Eagle fan. I'm calling you an Eagle season ticket holder for 45 years. Is that accurate?
It goes back longer than that, Matt. It goes back to my dad sitting in Franklin Field in 48 and 49 for Steve Van Buren, and in 60 with Norm Van Brocklin. And it goes back, 60 years, 70 years?
Man, okay. So I didn't even realize that, buddy. So here's what's going on. We got some fans out here that are categorizing Eagle fans as arrogant. They're front runners, and that they give up on their teams. And one thing I heard is at the Eagles opener this year, there was a "Let's Go Sixers" chant just because they were behind. Can you address this?
I'll address a couple of things. I don't think arrogant's the right word. We are energetic. We want to win, and I think we are. I think we are incredibly passionate, and we are very. This is what you guys don't know. We are very intelligent fans. We get a bad rep in the national press, but this is a knowledgeable crowd. This isn't like the Bay Area or especially LA, where everybody leaves early. People stay in Philly. People stay to the last minute of the game.
So they cheer when a guy gets hurt, like a Michael Irvin back in the day.
No,
I cheered. I have to make an admission, and I think I'm a pretty classy guy, Matt. But I cheered when Irvin went down. Do you remember how irritant Michael Irvin was, and how those days of Buddy Ryan and Jimmy Johnson? He was in, we all hated Michael, let's be clear. I didn't want him to be hurt. But when he was lying down there, there were a good minute or two when you cheered because he was down. When you realized he was hurt, you backed off a little bit. But I did cheer when he went down. Does that make me a bad guy?
No. Okay, so Tony, we had the great Dick Vermeil on yesterday. He described Philadelphia Eagles fans as being with you, win or tie, right? So do you have, of course, you got a long list of memories in Philadelphia, going back to your father. Do you feel like there is an experience or a situation that you could use to, explain to people out here just how Philadelphia Eagles fans are during a game?
Okay, you know what I'm remembering right now is that 89 game when Montana, there's not much of a long series history between the Eagles and the 49ers, but in 1989, Randall Cunningham on a hot young Eagles team took a 28-0 lead.
28-10.
It was a massive lead, and Montana comes in
and he threw four touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
That's correct.
I was in the upper in the 700 level that day. I was screaming because I love that Buddy Ryan team and Joe. We were all traumatized, and we didn't boo Joe. We respected his greatness, but we were all. That was a difficult day, and it lingers with me to this day, those four touchdowns. That was an incredible performance by Montana.
It was. I was at that game too, Tony. I was before I even moved out. All right, last one for you, buddy. We got a lot of people from the Bay Area who are going to be out in Philly for this game. They're probably going to have their 49er jerseys. And there's this stigma of, like, be careful. Be careful.
Yeah, I would not wear that, whatever, is it maroon? Whatever that color is, I would not wear it.
Come on.
People are going to be sauced up, Matt. People are going to be sauced up. People are going to be drinking. And there is an element that I'd be, it's not as bad as Old Veterans Stadium, but there's certainly an element that is not scared to throw it down. I'm not proud of that group. That I found that repulsive, actually.
So
there are
guys.
I'd be nervous.
Got to be wearing a 5%.
A guy with a Montana jersey coming in, minding his own business.
It depends where he's at.
Got
I think in the club level or lower level, I think it'd be okay. Be booed. I think in the upper levels of the link. Woo,
even without any instigation from the San Francisco side, just the mere presence, the mere scarlet red being in the section.
I think it would be okay. If it was a Cowboy star, they're going down. And it's going to get really, really ugly. If it's I think they'll be okay in that upper level. They're going to get a lot of taunts. They may have some things thrown at them, but I think they'll be okay.
Tony, great talking to you, my man. Really appreciate it. I know you're going Sunday. Have fun, man.
Thank you, guys. Fly, Eagles, fly.
All right, that's Tony DeMarco. And hopefully Shasky and Bonte are on the third level.
Cut that up.
Hopefully they got nosebleeds.
Oh, no. They got to be close down to the field, right?
Why?
Well, it's just, I don't know how they roll. It feels like that's the kind of how they, you know.
How do they roll? I don't know how they roll.
Well, Shasky's tickets at Levi's, I believe, are in the upper deck. Not like
227.
The tallest level. Okay.
227. Also, I was listening this morning, and they did the simulcast with WIP, and he told, they told all of Philly where they're going to be sitting, section 116.
And what did the guys on WIP say about, like, safety, et cetera?
Pretty much said they don't want to be associated with murder.
Wow.
Just by having the guys tell the entire Philly audience where they're going to be sitting.
And first of all, let me tell you something about Tony DeMarco. He wasn't trivializing fan violence. I think he was actually saying...
Well, unless it was like Michael Irvin.
I mean, he acknowledged that. Let's go to John in Castro. He's a Niner fan. He's not scared, dog. What's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, there's no fear here, man.
Of course.
So, Philly fans, you know, I don't know what they're all about, but it don't matter because there's going to be plenty of red in Philly. And let me tell you, the people that are going to this game, you know, they're not just your peninsula, you know, posh people. We got people from East San Jose. We got people from the East Bay. We got people from the North Bay. But here's the deal. Look, so I got a couple friends already over there, and guess what? The Rocky statue, he's wearing a Niner jersey. Did you guys know that?
I saw a photo of that.
Yeah, something overnight.
Saw a photo. Thanks for the call,
Photoshop,
John.
Photoshop, right?
I don't know.
Staged.
That's everybody does that.
Okay, so what would be the Philly equivalent? Like what? I mean, they got a lot of stuff out here. I guess they could deface, but
I don't know. Putting a Philly jersey on. Cable car? I don't know.
I know you're from the area. Yeah. It is funny to me that the most symbolic sports figure from the city of Philadelphia is fictional.
That's not true. First of all, he's not fictional. He's Sylvester Stallone.
Rocky Balboa is not fictional.
He's real Stallone. He's from Philly. Let me tell
you. Rocky Balboa is closer to being real than Rocky.
Can I make a clarification?
Yeah, sure.
If anybody going to the game, wear what you want to wear. If you want to wear a 49er shirt, wear one. Just be respectful. Like you'd want somebody to be coming to the Levi Stadium. It's no different. See, this is why I don't think it's different. I really don't. Eagle fan walks through Levi Stadium and he's got a smile on his face and he's not being vindictive or antagonizing. Nothing's going to happen. Please.
I can't pass judgment because I've never been to a game in Philly, but I have been to a game in New England. And up until the Patriots were smoking the team that I was there to watch, people were not physical, but if I'd given them a reason to, they absolutely would have done something to me. Whether it's pouring a beer, kicking you when you're in the urinal, you know, something cheap. Because at the end of the day, and this is really the butt of the reason behind every home field crowd feeling like they can do whatever they want. Because there's more of them than the other team's fans. There's going to be significantly more green at Lincoln than there is going to be red. And so, I hope Bonte and Butch and the Morning Guys have a fantastic time in Philadelphia. In the words of Stephen A., you better be careful.
It's a great city. It's a great city. No doubt about it. It is. You can have a lot of fun there. You have a lot of fun there. Unbelievable diversity. Unbelievable history.
Actually, I take that back. I have been to Philly. It was a hazy night.
IPA?
Something like that. What? Remember I was talking about the Tour de Pine earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in Philly.
Oh.
I remember getting there. I woke up in Princeton.
You remember getting there?
Yeah, I woke up in Princeton.
Did you really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yikes. I can hear you, Lucas.
That was a good
just
night.
In case. Didn't know that the mic came on. It'd be like dropping a banner from the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah, something like that, for sure. I've been to Green Bay last year. The fans are nice. Nothing's going to happen in Philly. You're right.
I hope not. I mean, hopefully they have a great time and win, loss. People are respectful and it's all well and good fun. I mean, there's going to be some trash talk. That's just what people do.
See, this is...
But
415's got it nailed.
Hmm.
I was in Philly in the summer of 08, wearing a Giants hat to a Phillies game. I caught no hands, but I did catch a phone number of a Philly girl. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
New York or San Francisco Giants? I'm assuming it's...
Yeah, I think it's San Francisco.
Okay.
I would bet. It's a 415 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. All right, give me a prediction.
Prediction for the game?
Yep.
Well, didn't we give him earlier?
We did, but it's okay. Our audience, so I might change it.
Oh, I got you.
I think I got
Niners and
Niners 26-20.
Oh, you just flipped the team from the beginning? Oh, well.
No, I'll stick with
it sucks because I feel like I have been propping up. I've been doing my best, okay, to try and give people confidence, hope. Whatever they're feeling, I'm trying to amplify it at this point. But I do think that if the Niners are 98% out of 100, the Eagles are 99. And I think it comes down to a low-scoring game in which Philly is able to win by, I think it'll be a three-point game. I'll say 21-18, I think Philadelphia wins.
All right. That's what your prediction earlier, 18, so you think...
My prediction also was that whoever wins this football game is going to win the Super Bowl. So should the Niners get past the Eagles, I think they're beating whoever comes out of the AFC.
How about somebody saying, we're talking about... 49er fans put a Niners jersey on the Rocky statue in Philadelphia.
The real Rocky.
Somebody, the 650, I'm sorry, the 510 says, be like putting an Eagle jersey on Juan Marichal statue. How about the Willie Mays statue?
That's
what it would be.
Yeah.
The Willie Mays statue.
Right there on 3rd and King.
Putting an Eagles shirt on that. That'd be the equivalent.
Yeah, put a Randall Cunningham shirt right there on Willie Mays.
Something like that. You know what I didn't realize? Jalen Hurts had 13 rushing touchdowns.
He did.
That's a lot.
He only threw for 21, though, Steiny.
22, I thought. That's
okay.
21 and 6?
Yeah, Brock threw for 13, regular season. Mm-hmm.
How many run for?
One, I believe.
Man.
It's less than 13.
Can he keep it up? Can Brock Purdy keep it up? Does he have another game in him where... He's just really solid.
He won a game going 19 for 29 with no scores. I don't think he has
to. But, I mean, are you saying those numbers are completely pedestrian?
No, I'm just saying he doesn't have to be spectacular.
Well, I think he's got to be a little better than that.
He's got to be good in the gimme spots. Like actually, I think Baldy laid it out perfectly earlier. He's got it. Like, if you're looking at a Niners win, there are going to be five or six throws that you look at and say, that was damn good.
I agree.
But if you only have to make five or six throws, it's just what you got to have it. And that's where Brock Purdy, to his credit, I think has been pretty good, especially in second halves of games. When they've had to have it, he has delivered. Or he's no one to throw it away.
He's absolutely. I mean, he's been.
Kenny Rogers.
I mean, you know, you hate to say perfect, but he hasn't made. I know it could have been this and there could have been that, but you cannot have asked him to play any better than what he's played. And, you know, I'm thinking just, okay, if Brock Purdy, so he was 19 for 29 for how many yards against Dallas? You remember offhand?
Against Dallas?
Yeah.
214.
19 for 29 for 214. Here's what I think is the beauty of the Niners. If you told me that's what he's going to get for this game against the Eagles, I would not necessarily say, oh, they're going to lose then.
Yeah.
Because they might run for three touchdowns. And as long as it's like 0-0, to me, no touchdowns, no picks, while that's not the way you want it, the 49ers can still win that way. Just don't give me the 0-1 or the 0-2 or the 1-2.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's oversimplified, but whoever wins the turnover battle, I think, wins this game. I do think that Philadelphia has enough firepower because they've been able to move the ball through the air against better defenses than the Niners have, from what I've seen. I do think they are more likely to be able to come from behind than San Francisco is. But I do think, and JD mentioned it, the beginning of this football game is going to be very important for San Francisco, because I don't know if Brock Purdy could come back from down 10 on the road against this Eagles team. He did it against Las Vegas, but this is an entirely different beast. So and in fact, because of that, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kyle Shanahan do something like take the ball first if they win the coin flip.
Hmm.
Because he wants to get on the board first and play from ahead.
Man, that to me, I'd find that very interesting.
Belichickian.
I'd find that very interesting, because then you're flirting with, why would you change something you've been doing all year?
Well, I think Dallas won the coin flip, but they didn't have the ball first out of the break. I just feel like, and look, you could say, okay, well, that's great. You know, we defend down the stretch of the first half. Our defense is good enough to get a stop, first possession, third quarter, and then our offense gets rolling no matter what. So, you know, for Shanahan, I believe that he is going to play this game. I think it's going to look conservative, but in his mind, it's because he believes his process is good enough to beat Philadelphia.
Let me ask you this. You know, the first plays are scripted.
Yeah.
So in theory, it doesn't matter.
24.
I'm going to assume that doesn't matter whether they won the toss or didn't. What's a 49ers first series look like?
Ideally?
No. Like, what do you actually think he's calling?
Six of the first 9 or 10 plays go to number 23, Christian McCaffrey.
How many on the ground? How many versus how many in the air?
Well, and that's where they can get creative. And
see,
that's,
this is where I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, ideally, it's a split. I mean, ideally, it's, you know, four rushes, three passes, vice versa. But I think it starts with Christian McCaffrey, because Philly's got to prove first, like Dallas did, that they can stop whatever McCaffrey's bringing to the table. Then, because if you can't, then they're just going to stick with and run the ball down your throat. Then if you can beat Kyle Shanahan's first punch or avoid it, then he's got to go and try and move the ball through the air.
I mean, there's something about Shanahan where, and maybe this is why he's a great, great coach, is part of me thinks that sometimes he overthinks stuff. But there's a very legitimate case for saying, okay, we're in Philly. They are going to be, you know, the fans are going to be up. Their defense is going to be wound up. They think they can rattle Brock. So they think we're just going to run the ball to start, because they think that we might be a little worried about Purdy, putting Purdy. And that's when you say, you know what, let's throw the first five downs. Let's just throw the first five downs. Just see, you know what I mean? Who's to say that would be either the right or the wrong thing to do?
That, to me, would be Kyle Shanahan trying, I don't know about getting cute, but overthinking things, because Philadelphia has the number one pass defense in the NFL, and if you're trying to outsmart people, then you would say, all right, we're going to throw it, you know, 40 times today, because they're not going to be expecting that. They're going to stack the box, and early, we want to try and beat them through the air. I don't think Kyle Shanahan is going to try and remake the wheel in this game. I think he's going to try and do what has gotten him to this point, which is a heavy dose of running the football and Brock Purdy being good enough on third down or in, you know, second and short situations, not playing from behind the sticks, to methodically move the ball down the football field, take the points when they come, and at the end of the day, look up at the scoreboard and see you have more than the other team. That's how I feel.
That's all they got to do. That's all they got to do.
I think.
How much we got here?
60 seconds.
Look at this. This is weird.
Where are you watching the game?
My buddy Dana's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is just really weird and random, but I'm gonna say it. So we're talking. So the 49er fans who are in Philly, they put a 49er jersey on the Rocky statue. Yeah, it's clear. It's funny. You know, it's whatever. It's cool.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. And we said, what would be the equivalent here? And well, how about on putting a Eagles jersey on Willie Mays? I was like, yeah, that'd be good. Somebody said putting a Eagles jersey on the Dwight Clark statue. And you know what? I was like, it feels a little more disrespectful than Willie Mays. I don't know why.
Well, Willie Mays is the, I mean, he is the Bay Area. Like,
but it's also been a much longer time since he's passed. And I don't know. We don't have to end on that note. Yeah. Let me tell you something, everybody. I can't wait to talk about this one on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Has all the makings for a playoff classic. San Francisco 49ers, Philadelphia Eagles, noon Sunday.
Sam, I always go to the trenches.
Well, I've seen enough.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.